there. Oh, I've got lots of letters for Santa today. And every year, they're the same. Some ask for toys, but a lot ask questions.
A yo-yo?
If you wish to give me a present?
I'd like to be a dentist.
I really am a mean and despicable creature at heart, you know.
I really
it's
am,
so
man.
It's so difficult to really change.
And it is hard to change.
So hard to change.
Why, look here. Changing from bad to good's as easy as taking your first step.
Maybe it's not so hard.
I mean, if you just put one foot in front of the other.
And soon you'll be walking across the floor. And soon you'll be walking out the door. You never will get where you're going.
Never gonna get where you're going, Ian.
Yes,
if you don't get up on your feet.
Come on, there's a good tailwind blowing. A fast walking man is hard.
And is that not true? A fast walking man is hard to beat.
So true. Even Topper's into it.
Yep. You know, I want to begin this show, this podcast, the Christmas specials we love, with my favorite of all the specials, but I still get sucked right in. Ann and I are bobbing our heads.
This is one of my favorite songs. I don't know why it didn't make it on air, like on the, you know, Billboard charts.
But even the lyrics, if you want to change your direction, if your time at life is at hand, well, don't be the rule, be the exception, and a good way to start is to stand.
Yeah. I mean, it's so philosophical, and Kev, it's right in line with a lot of the lessons you teach.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he'll get into talking about changing his reflection, and there's so much talk about when you look in the mirror and that being the place to start. Here we go. It's just my election. See, it's just your choice.
Yes.
So I mean, it's so powerful. I love this moment. Now look at how the old Winter Warlock is struggling to walk. He's shaking his foot. It's so hard for him. Look, now watch the encouragement from Kris Kringle.
I know.
Come on, you can do it, buddy.
He's like the best coach.
Yeah. And the animals now are cheering him on. Here we go.
Yes.
Victory.
And look at
anyway.
Changed.
Amazing, you guys. Welcome to the Christmas Specials We Love podcast. Oh, and you can let it play out, can't you? Oh, well, it's over now. No, by the way, yeah, we have to get to work. It's Ann Sleeman and myself. This is my favorite of all the specials. And more than likely, we can do a multi-panel review of this as well, but today it's just the adults at the adult table. Gen X and Gen Y are sitting this one out, and it's just the lost generation. And this is my favorite of all of them. As I've said, this is my Dianetics. All the messages I need for life are in this 1 hour special. Let's get your general thoughts though.
Dianetics. Okay, so Kev, I'm totally in line with you. I never know if this one or Year Without is my favorite. And it's always like the one I saw most recently because the soundtrack of this one is crazy. Like, you know, one foot in front of the other, like you said, just deep and all that. And I also nostalgically have so many memories. That's how my dad during the Christmas season, you'll love this and maybe use it on Athena, used to get us to go up to bed. He'd be like, all right, gang, let's put one foot in front of the other. And we'd do a little march through like the house and then up the stairs to bed. So huge nostalgic, fun memories with my dad, my family with that. I love everything about this one. Another kind of personal funny note. When I first met my husband, he had never seen it, which I know that's blasphemous. But
I love it because when you introduce it to them, it's fun.
Yeah, and the main reason I wanted to introduce it to him too was, and you know Joe now, a little bit, but he looked when he was younger like young Kris Kringle, even had the beard and everything. So it's like, wow. No, you'll love it.
It's you.
It's you. And that makes me love it even more. So yeah.
What did he think of it though? What did he think of it when he saw it?
He's slowly coming around to stop motion. He's never been a huge fan, but since we started doing this.
So he's got the OCD. My wife's like that too with certain things. If something's out of sync or if there's one bad actor or one bad line in a film, she's out.
Yeah.
It's nails on a chalkboard.
Yes. So he's been a little bit like that. And you know what, Kev, I'm going to tell you which one turned him, which you're going to be shocked was Mad Monster Party.
You know what? I am with him on this. I know Christian didn't agree. The more I processed Mad Monster Party, the more I'm into it.
Yeah.
The more charming and fun. It's just a little long. I get it.
Right.
But you know something with the Evan generation, it's so easy to edit. I swear I could just edit it down myself to get it to the 55 minutes it needs to be. And it would be fine. I mean, it was funny. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought so. I was watching Grinch last night and Boris Karloff, of course, was the voice of Grinch. And it made me think of Mad Monster Party. I'm like,
we haven't done Grinch, have we yet?
We haven't.
We will do. Obviously, we will do that. The other thing is I didn't realize Sesame Street had a Christmas special. Did you know that?
No, but that's...
Maya Angelou takes us through. With my daughter, it came up on my screen. I'm like, okay, add this one to the list.
I love that. And I'm going to add two more, if I may, we're not digressing down this too much. Two that came back to my memory that we talked about last year were Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol and Boondock's Christmas Special. I remembered you wanted to cover. So
I didn't. No, not me. Maybe it was probably Christian.
Oh, maybe
Christian always is into the obscure ones.
Okay,
but I'm open to them. I mean,
I am too. I mean, we did Mad Monster Party,
and we did WKRP was fun, and the Thanksgiving special, and I think
and
I still think the Alf one was great.
I've touted so many people on watching that this year because, like I said during the episode, I had never really watched Elf, but that Christmas special really hit home with me.
I thought like, so too.
I thought it was beautiful. I really liked it. You know.
All right, Ann. How about we get into some production notes?
Love it.
Okay. So this aired December 13th, 1970, a long time ago. Obviously, Rankin and Bass, written by our favorite Romeo Muller, who has written all the great Rankin and Bass specials. Composer Maury Laws and Jules Bass. Bass does the lyrics, but Maury Laws does all this outstanding music. And as you said, Year Without a Santa Claus was incredible. Rudolph was incredible, but this soundtrack,
amazing.
Right up there with them. It's funny. I think this is my favorite. My second favorite is Year Without a Santa Claus. But they're right neck and neck.
Yeah.
Neck and neck to me. Okay, this is based on the song of the same title, which was written in 1934 by J. Fred Coots and Haven Gillespie. It was covered by Eddie Canton on his radio show in November of 1934, and that's when within 24 hours sold 500,000 copies of sheet music and more than 30,000 records. And since then, the song's been recorded by over 200 major artists, from Bing Crosby to the Andrews Sisters, Neil Diamond, Fred Astaire, obviously, Bruce Springsteen, Frank Sinatra, Bill Evans, Chris Isaak, The Temptations, The Carpenters, Michael Bublé, Luis Miguel, and the Jackson 5, and yeah, there's a lot more people. I'll take it decade to decade, though. In the 30s, it was a sheet music hit, reaching number one. That was the thing back then. Like, what was number one in sheet music? Is that incredible?
Wow. I know, like, when they mentioned that it was the sheet music as the statistic, I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. Cause think about records were relatively new.
Yeah.
And you know, you didn't have a Caldors down the street. You didn't have a popcorn or a Strawberries records and tape. Right. So, but yeah. And then the song was also recorded for Victor Records in 35 by Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra.
Nice.
Then by the 40s, Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters do it, and they end up reaching the Billboard charts, I think, in around 47 with their recordings. In the 60s, in 62, the Four Seasons record a version that hits number 23 on the Billboard chart.
Wow.
In 63, Phil Spector records a version
I don't know.
Phil Spector with the big hair. He murdered. He actually was convicted of murder.
Oh.
A huge, huge producer of genius level stuff in the 60s and just a kook. And a woman he was on a date with ended up at his house and somehow gun went off and killed her.
Oh. And
yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah,
crazy story. And that's why.
Sounds like it'd be a good movie.
I think they made one.
Okay.
And Al Pacino played him. HBO, check it out. A Christmas Gift for You from Phil Spector. And it was performed by the Crystals. And then 65, the Supremes had a version which hit number four in Singapore. Singapore, interesting.
That is.
Then the 70s to the 90s, the Jackson 5 did it, as I said. But the Partridge Family did it, which I didn't know. I didn't even know a Partridge Family Christmas Card was an album. And at some point, we will cover some obscure albums like that. Did not know.
I didn't either.
Right?
I'm embarrassed, Kev.
That we didn't know? Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. You know, it's funny. David Cassidy, I had him on my podcast years ago. In fact, it was his last interview.
Tomorrow Show?
Yes. And I was saying to him he should do some kind of Christmas song.
Yes.
He had just released a new album. And I remember hearing the music and, he wasn't in good shape when I saw him. Good guy, though. Sweet, you know. The Carpenters released this as a single in 74. And then Bruce did his iconic one, which usually hits the radios, in 75.
My favorite.
At CW Post College, which I didn't know.
No, I didn't know that either, Kev.
Yeah, and it charts each year during the season because it is so popular.
That's my fave.
Yeah. He loves having the people sing along with him, too. There's a tribute band, Bjorn Again, that did a version in 92 that hit the charts. Mariah Carey, I guess, did it in 94. And the Pointer Sisters did a version of it, which I didn't know. And then Andy Williams, you know, he's synonymous with Christmas as well. Some of his specials, which we should cover. 1990, he did a version of it. So the song itself is so big, but it was brilliant that they were able to just take the song and then now make it just like they did with Rudolph and turn it into a special.
Yeah. I mean, it was perfect. It worked so perfectly. And I didn't think, you know, like when we covered Frosty, they kind of had to add the animation, but this story, I think, flowed really well to the song.
What do you mean add the animation?
Remember with Frosty, it was like, okay, so now we have to go through the town. And so they had them all skip down through the town and all of that.
Right. It was just a fun moment to get the song in rather than it be more organic to the story.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Cast. Fred Astaire plays S.D. Kluger, the postman, which, by the way, we have to pop in around Easter Easter Bunny is coming to town because Fred Astaire comes back as S.D. Kluger to lead us through that, which I found interesting. You went so deep with your research on Fred Astaire. You're like, wow, he's a special in and of himself. Why don't you give us some of those tidbits?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is a special into himself, Kev. You know, he lived till the age of 88. Sadly, he died of pneumonia. He was married a couple times. I thought it was funny. His second married was to a woman who was a Sports Illustrated cover model who was 45 years his junior. And even though he was pretty gregarious on stage, he was super laid low and was quiet in his private life. He was really into horses and golf. He actually took up skateboarding. This is when I was like, this dude is a badass, man. He took up skateboarding in his late 70s.
Let me add to that. So in his 70s, you can find it on YouTube. He, on one of the specials, maybe it was an Oscars, he did a dance number. And maybe at the end of this, at least off air, I'll play it for you. But he does a dance alone, a solo dance, and it's very nice.
Yeah.
And it's going along like, wow, it's pretty good. Now he's in his mid-70s at this point. Then all of a sudden, he just goes off. And you're like, oh my God, he's incredible. You have to see it. You'll just be blown away by his talent, but then also his resiliency, like what he's doing at his age.
Crazy.
Incredible. A lot of people think this was his last role. It wasn't. Ghost Story, which I remember seeing him in, and he was great in it. It's actually a horror film. He was great in it, and that was his last thing. I have one little inside baseball story. Yes. So my friend Randall used to take care of, he was best friends with Ginger Rogers. He was the keynote. He was Paul Bearer for her and one of the speakers at her at a funeral. And I remember when they colorized some of their films, and because he owned the movies, that's what, you know, he owned a lot of the films in the library. Which I didn't know. He called up and said, you know, Fred, why our pictures being colored? And he was like, nah, what do you care?
Couldn't have cared less.
Yeah, he's like, who cares? Like, you know, this guy sounds kind of funny, you know. So,
which is not what you would think from his personality, like on screen.
No, it kind of is, because he's sweet and all that, but just I don't think they realized how that generation didn't realize how iconic they were. They didn't realize that things were going to go on for generations. And, you know, even though he lived long enough, making it to 1981, he lived long enough to see rerun television and things like that. But they didn't get it. I mean, I remember my friend Randall also he knew Cary Grant. And Randall would say to him all the time, like, you're Cary Grant. He's like, no. You know, they didn't see themselves. Yeah, they were. I mean, Stan Laurel lived on Santa Monica Boulevard in an apartment. His name was in the phone book.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very
that
different.
Boggles my mind. So different.
Yeah. Very different. Very different. Mickey Rooney as Santa, and I said this on other shows, I actually had Thanksgiving dinner with him 1 year.
I know.
Toward the end of his life. Had firmly placed up my own behind. I didn't really talk, you know, I should have leaned in more and talked to him more. Maria talked to him about this and said how much she loves these. And he was like, oh, that's great. And she's like, do you want to watch one of those? Nah, let's watch football. He loved football. But the thing is, these guys, they did so much. Such a, you know, huge body of work.
Right.
And so it's like, seen it all, done it all, heard it all. Because I remember even seeing them at autograph shows, and I would say to Randall, I'm like, people would come up like with tears and say, you changed my life because of this. You did it because of that. It was because, you know, and I said, does that move them at all? And he was like, no.
They've
just heard it all. They've just heard everything, you know. But I love him in this. And when you even hear his voice as young Chris, older Chris, the inflections, then I can physically see him doing, you know, as he's reading it.
He is Santa.
Yeah.
I mean, he is Santa to me, to us, to our generation. Like, that voice is Santa. Like, I know other people played him, but he nailed it.
He nailed it.
You know?
And as we know, he's also he does it for Year Without a Santa Claus as well.
Yep.
Better rendition than the Rudolph one,
the grumpy.
The grumpy, miserable.
I can't remember who played Santa in Rudolph.
You know what? Yeah. And almost in a little bit of a foreign accent, too. Too bad. And he had a good takeoff, too. Right. Not enough
still
to cancel.
Not Nikki.
Not enough to cancel the show, mind you, but definitely was,
Right. Santa? I know.
A little grumpy.
But not to digress on that too much, but back in the day, we didn't analyze stuff like that. Like, we just took it at face value. Cool. It's a cartoon. It's a special. This one's an hour. Let's gather around.
We fell in line too.
Yeah.
Better we didn't think it was real. That. Yeah. We didn't really think it was our place.
Right. I'm not going to complain about Santa. Are you kidding?
Yeah. It's like, so
no way.
I think, and I still think, it's when you are overindulged and you are overstimulated, it's almost human nature to look for something bad.
Yes.
There's something in our DNA, you know, maybe it went back to when we were hunters and gatherers and you're waiting for the animal to jump out of the bushes and eat you. So I think when you're not occupied, when you're not productive.
Yeah, you're going to find it. You need energy. You have to look somewhere.
Well, that's what I see with the younger generation. I just think that we took away their pain. We provided them endless pleasure, so many activities, never bored. And then, so what happens is, I think it's just human nature to be like, to either not, you know, care as much about Santa and presents, because you're literally having Christmas and birthdays every, you know, your life. For us, it was, you might get a nice present on your birthday and you might get a nice Christmas. And that was it.
That was it.
There was no getting toys every week. And
or half birthday.
Yeah, no. There was a different appreciation.
Yeah.
And so I just think, again, you're just now looking for the darkness because you just have too much light. So you have to find the fault. So that's what I think it is today.
Yeah. That's profound, Kev. Like you make a real solid point with that. I don't know what the solution is.
So everyone let's give us some 1-star reviews for me saying that. Let's go. Let's get them going. And why don't we should we do some reviews or should we keep going?
It's up to you, Kev, if you want me to read a few 1-star reviews.
Yeah, let's keep going. No, let's keep going. And you can do it after we're done with the notes. Okay, so then Keenan Wynn plays the Winter Warlock. Again, this is an amazing character actor. I would see him in a lot of 70s detective dramas. But if you see his work, he's incredible. And again, even his voice and his inflections and the moments he created to me, still I get teary-eyed at some of his things. This is the character I relate most to.
The Winter Warlock.
Yeah, I think I'm most like I have no magic left. Just mean and angry.
Kev, you've got corn. Come just on,
little magic corn. But he had a lot of his kids actually went on. One of his children had written The Longest Yard, which is one of my favorite movies. I know he has a granddaughter doing stuff too. So these are the people I'd love to someday catch up to.
Would be amazing.
Yeah.
Because he was one of those unknown, but you knew his work.
Yeah.
Like, not a household name.
Something weird too about he was married to a woman and then Louis B. Mayer got in the middle of their marriage and made the wife allegedly marry an actor, Van Johnson, because people thought Van was gay.
Yeah.
And
I read that.
Isn't that amazing?
Scandal.
And, right. And literally broke up a marriage over that. So, God, you don't want to talk about the dark side of old Hollywood.
Ugh. I know. Right. We're talking about why they didn't want to see any of their stuff. Well, there was, some weird stuff happening.
Well, I'll tell you, Louis B. Mayer, again, going to my friend Randall, Randall was caretaker to the last silent film star and known as the last silent film star, Anita Page.
Okay.
Broadway Melody, Our Dancing Daughters, I believe, with Joan Crawford, young Joan Crawford. Her career ended when she was 33 years old. You know, her name started going down and, she wasn't making as much money. And so Louis was like, well, if you basically give into my advances, we'll keep you going. And she said no.
And good for her.
And then
canceled.
He canceled and then, really kind of unhappy for the rest of her life. But Randall always, when he came in when she was in her 90s and took her in, she lived to 100 and I think 101. Wow. He took her in her 80s, actually. I remember when it was her inheritance with her kids, he basically told the kids, you take the inheritance and I'll take her. He was amazing. Yeah, Randall's phenomenal.
Amazing.
But that was, that's how it was back then.
She was.
Really? Okay, Paul Frees comes back. Now, he plays Burgermeister, Grimsley, the soldier. I mean, so many of the characters, the newsreel announcer. I mean, he's their go-to guy.
Yeah.
For voices. And, to me, I can't believe he played the Burgermeister and Grimsley because they have so many scenes together.
I know, what a talent. I know. I never knew that until I started doing research on this. I'm like, holy cow, this guy is amazing.
Joan Gardner played Tonta Kringle, and she also is no. By the way, the whole cast is gone except for this. We have one person who played Little Chris. Little Chris, but we can't find him.
No, I couldn't find anything on him.
But Joan Gardner had a pretty nice career. She also is Esmeralda in Here Comes Peter Cottontail, which I'm sure we should cover around Easter. And like I said, she passed away. She's not with us. She passed away in 92. Then Robin Lester played Jessica Claus, Mrs. Claus, and we lost her in 2005 at the age of 80. She was also the singing voice of Ava Gabor in the Aristocrats, Disney's The Aristocrats. So it seems like she did a lot of voice work.
Yeah, I think I read actually commercials. Yeah, she was like the busiest voice actor of the 60s or some such like that, I read.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
Big animal rights advocate and published 2 novels.
Yeah, she was busy. Yeah.
But how about her this autobiography really intrigued me. In 2006, it was published. What it was called?
Remind me.
Lingerie for Hookers in the Snow. an autobiography of a voice artist. So I'm going to have to find that.
That seems like one potentially that could be turned into a movie. That would be really interesting.
Yeah, certainly something we should cover here. Soundtrack, First Toy Makers to the King, sung by Tonta and the Kringles. So, you know, these, what I neglected to mention is the actors on this all sang these songs, which made the soundtrack so incredible as well. First Toy Makers to the King is sung by Tonta and the Kringles, and then No More Toy Makers to the King, which is the Burgermeister and Grimsley, which means that's all Paul Frees.
Right.
Be Prepared to Pay is sung by Chris and the Westminster Children's Choir, which is Mickey Rooney. Put One Foot in Front of the Other is Mickey Rooney and Keenan Wynn. My World is Beginning Today, which I'll talk about, just doesn't belong, but I don't think. But that's sung by Jessica, well, I was going to say Jessica Kringle, but Mrs. Claus, the actress Robbie Lester. What better way to tell you is Fred Astaire's moment, sung by S.D. Kluger at the end.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Santa Claus is Coming to Town is S.D. Kluger, and once again, the Westminster Children's Choir.
Love the soundtrack.
Love the soundtrack. And there's a lot of different things where it got passed around and whatever, but now these songs are available and they're out there and I love them. Some fun production and writing facts. Rudolph makes a brief cameo following the introduction of the original eight reindeer, but S.D. Kluger tells the audience that he doesn't play a role here. That's another story. And
yeah.
There was a legal reason they couldn't say Rudolph.
Right.
Because they didn't have the rights for this. The painting of Santa Claus in his sleigh at the end also appeared in The Year Without Santa Claus. It's the same one.
Yeah.
Composer Maury Laws said that this was his favorite television special to work on. I also have to say that I have the one book written about this. It's actually on sale for $80.
Whoa.
It's a hardcover. Yeah, it's by our friend Rick
Goldschmidt.
Goldschmidt, the world's leading Rankin and Bass expert. Not to be confused with Evan, who's the world leading Captain Crunch expert. So we had that deep dive on, yeah, how I think it's cool to be the world leading anything. So
I know.
I think I'm going to do Milk Duds.
I think you are going to do Milk Duds.
I love Milk Duds. I don't think there's enough discussion about them. And I really feel like I could be the world's leading expert on Milk Duds.
Kev, I think today I dub you the world leading expert. You're the dad dudologist.
All right, I'm in. Next week, I'm going to have some. Yeah.
We'll get you some merch that compares like being a dadfluencer and a dudfluencer.
I'll be a dudfluencer. Oh, my goodness.
Dudfluencer.
I'll be the best dudfluencer. I think, yeah, I'm going to have to get some sign. Like, you know, you need the shelf with all the tchotchke on it.
Different
boxes. If there's any Milk Dud toys. So when I do commentary, I have to have that behind me.
Yeah. And next time, maybe have like a background with the Milk Duds in it.
Yes.
I think we can work this. And I have to say, of all the people I know,
yeah,
I talk about Milk Duds with you more than anybody else.
What's going to be yours? What's going to be yours?
Gosh, I might be. I don't think I could be the pizzaologist. I'll have to think about.
No, you got to go more obscure because there's too many other pizza experts out there.
What do I like? That's kind.
It could be anything, Anne.
I think I'm going to be ballpoint pens.
I think you're going to be. You have maybe it's Bradley's.
Bradley's the stores that.
Yes, Caldor's.
I'll be the Caldua expert.
No, you have to find something. I think something obscure to make it easier. It's gonna be something you love.
Okay.
But obscure.
Okay, I'm gonna dig deep and think of what I love that's obscure that nobody else loves.
No. People can love it, but that there's no other world leading expert.
Right, no other world leading expert. Maybe
like we all love these specials, but it was Rick Goldschmidt who basically just decided to give up all his life belongings, live in a small little hovel, and make his entire life about Rankin and Bass.
Right. That's true. Maybe throw blankets. I'm kind of into throw blankets.
Oh, okay.
I like holiday throw blanket. There
you go. World's leading expert in holiday throw blankets.
And in Florida, that's a little bit weird because people don't really have the throw blankets.
But when you crank the AC, if you're bougie. Yeah,
that's the best.
Right? Because it's so humid out, you crank the AC and then it's too cold. But then if you shut it off, you're going to get warm.
Right.
So Yeah, no, that
variety of throw blankets.
I love holiday throw blankets.
Holiday throw blankets.
No, and I love it. See, it's just going to be things where you end up getting interviewed. Like, so it's like you can have the lower third that says Anse Lehmann, world's leading expert holiday throw blankets.
Yeah, I'm a throw blanketologist. I need a name.
Thanks, Hoda. So Hoda, I'm thinking for this year, you know, holiday blankets. You know, where the trends this year, you can go into how the trends,
right,
the
fleecy thing, which once you wash it, it loses the
and
feel.
I'm just gonna throw it out there.
Ooh, big no pun fan. Intended.
And no pun firmly intended. And the electric throw blanket, I've got several.
Oh, I don't own one of those.
They're amazing.
Dare okay. I say I have
now let me triple envy. Down. Let me triple down. I'm gonna say this. So we tie it back to Christmas specials we love.
Thank you, Kevin.
A nice holiday throw blanket, wonderful little item to have.
It is.
Have your cocoa, you're watching your specials. Let me do this though. They have ones that are electric. You plug them in, they're nice and warm, just to throw. Wonderful for napping when you don't want to pull out the big giant blanket. You pull out your little whoopee.
Yep,
and you're good to go.
The electric whoopee.
But let me add one more thing.
Please.
The weighted throw is amazing. The weighted throw, holiday weighted throw. And then I believe they do make a holiday weighted heated blanket.
The trifecta.
That's like the best. So I've got a few of them around here. And I wouldn't call myself an expert. I yield to you. We will talk offline. I will be looking forward to your sage expertise. But I want to throw that out to people. Treat yourself. By the way, great gift for people.
It is.
Great gift. So the weighted one, fantastic. The heated one, great. Those are just those little means of getting comfort when life is, life can be, as we know, challenging.
Yeah.
And it's these little creature comforts. I'll always give these like gifts to people for.
Love it.
What is this? And then, oh my God, I use this, the electric throw blanket all the time, or the weighted blanket, or just so. And you're really onto something being
the
expert
there. And I think we just figured out people I don't know what to get a gift for. If you're listening, spoiler alert, you're getting a holiday throw.
Throw blanket. Well, no. Anne, sorry, Anne, from the world's leading holiday throw blanket expert. And by the way, Anne, we're going to say this, a limited amount will be signed.
Ooh.
By Anne.
Now, I will sign either with the Sharpie or I could bust out the sewing machine for those. Anne,
you go to Michael's. You get a cloth label, you sign it, and we stitch it in.
Perfect.
Oh, but limited amount. Limited edition.
Especially on the electric weighted holiday, the trifecta blanket, super limited. So
as everyone's gathering their one-star reviews to type in, because we've digressed so much. Sorry, everyone. Couple of edits with this too. Over the years, I would notice sometimes, I'd watch it and just kind of went back fast, and I thought, and then thanks to your research, Anne, I could see why a lot of the versions of it, they cut.
I know.
They'll either take a few lines out of songs, one foot in front of the other, or what better way to tell you, which is the Fred Astaire, his song, they cut entirely. I can see there's other versions where they've cut My World Is Beginning Today, Mrs. Claus song, whatever. Yeah, her song.
Her music video.
ABC's current broadcast cut out Burgermeister's last scene where he vows to hunt down Chris and the Kringles. I don't like that. The scene where Burgermeister lights the bonfire of toys was also cut at one time, but has, thank goodness, been reinstated. Freeform's current, this is on Freeform, by the way, this year. Freeform's current broadcast is mostly uncut, removing only one shot revealing the Winter Warlock's face. They came right before the second commercial break. It's that mean looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2011, Nintendo released a game based on the show for the D5 and the Wii.
Yeah.
So I have to talk to some of the gameologists, some of the world's leading.
I'm glad I didn't go down that road.
No, we get crushed. Crushed.
I don't even go to con.
And this is probably going to have to be a two-parter, because you've got... Anne says modern day potential triggers. This is why we didn't want Evan and Christian on this. We didn't want to trigger them. But there's actually quite a few. Anne did some research. Leave it to the group that's out there. you know, they had to find a lot of fault and triggers in this, which I'm excited to get into. But Anne, how about this? Why don't we, let's read some reviews, then we'll get into the triggers, and then we'll take it scene by scene.
That sounds
possible.
Great, Kev. So we had a busy week with reviews, and I'm going to start with a few that maybe aren't my faves, but we're going to read them anyways. So first off, these are Apple that I'm going to start with, Kev. Poor quality. I can't get behind the underwater muffledness of Kevin. Haven't you done podcasts before? Shouldn't you have the right tools to not sound, this is actually funny, like you're talking through a potato? That's that one.
So I refer in you ever seen, I'm going to get you into South Park. South Park episode where everyone, they really take on Yelp and all the Yelp reviewers, and they really get into the psychology of these people who make their lives about Yelping and writing reviews. And what drives them, the characters to do it, is they feel it makes them feel important. I'm important. So yeah, Kyle's father, Mr. Bluffslowski, I can't even know how to pronounce his name, but yeah, he gets so excited at night. He purposely goes to restaurants just so he can write his review. And then every time he finishes, he's like, I'm important.
Important.
So whoever wrote that, yes, you are very important. We see you. Yes, that's you're amazing. So you can go on and now go to the next podcast and do the same to them. So read the next one.
Okay, the next one is also a little bit, it's titled Love But.
Oh, geez.
I know. Sit down, Kev. This currently listening to the Alf episode, which I was obsessed with as a child and probably knew the Christmas ep by heart. In fact, my niece, Tiffany, was named after the girl in the show. However, your lead up to the actual episode was all over the place. It was 12 minutes in before you explained what actually happened in the Christmas special. If I hadn't seen it before, I might have tuned out because it was confusing. When discussing these, it's so important to remember that some people have never seen them and start from there. Otherwise, thanks for covering an episode that is iconic in my childhood and is really a great memory and something I will always associate with my dad who loved it.
Oh.
He's gone now. Oh. So I was right back in my old living room watching it with him. Thanks.
So it's not so bittersweet. Well, here's the thing. The first 10 minutes are intro. And, you know, we talked, I think, on that episode, or maybe it was WKRP, we know a lot of people aren't watching that. So I remember with that episode, this episode, we definitely went off the rails talking about holiday blankets. But on that one, I know we talked about Alf and the impact of Alf. And I felt like we had to. That was a conscious decision. That wasn't just us rambling.
Yeah.
It was a conscious decision to lay down some background information on Alf. Alf, because, you know, you're already in a niche when people were covering Alf, a show many people probably never watched. And then on top of it, one episode in the whole series. So you're already behind. I do agree with him and her that because no one saw it, maybe that you explain it. But I thought we did that. And I mean, I guess there's not, I don't know how much to complain about because I don't see a lot of people covering the Alf Christmas special. But Anne and I both loved that episode, not our episode, but we loved the special and we agree with you. And I'm glad it touched a chord, but you know, that first one, Anne, like talking through a potato just makes me not want to do this because we work so hard to preserve these classics than to find all this research. This is on Anne and I, especially because our generation does the work. Okay, sorry if I offended anybody, but all the paperwork and if you saw how many pages of notes Ann and I compile every week to do the show and to try to deliver, it's really hard. And when I get reviews like that, I'm like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why, like, I have other things in my life to do. It's really unfortunate, as we say, you know, and like, yes, because one episode we had tech difficulties, and I'm sorry for that, really. But again, don't know why you would feel the need to give us a poor review, you know, over that. But I digress in, but no, but then again, you, and we know why through South Park, because right. I'm important.
Okay, speaking of important, I felt important when I got this next one, Kev, if I may.
Good, give me a good one in.
The title, I literally got choked up with this whole one. I might not make it through reading because it was so sweet and it touched me.
You want me to read it?
Peace, love, and yeah, if you would read it, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't want to embarrass you because I saw this one and I love it. So I will, and I wanted to be the one that read it. Because this one is beautiful. So this is amazing. It is a great way to end. This is a great way to end our, at least the iTunes reviews. Peace, love, Anne. Anne is Melissa McCarthy level of genuine talent and humor. She is. I love hearing her take on her Christmas experiences because she is so genuine and real. I, for one, am picking on audio and have select podcasts I will actually listen to. And this is one of them because simply listening to the Cruise Canter makes my day and feels as though we are sitting in my living room together. But Anne, no offense to the guys, y'all are great too, but Anne is the GOAT. She's your cool mom, wild aunt, and lovable big sister vibes all at the same time. Iconic. This person totally sees you. That's exactly who Anne is. That's amazing. That's awesome. Amazing. All right, well, good. We got one good review.
I loved that nice. One.
You should. That's amazing. And it's completely accurate.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks,
it's Kev. Completely accurate. So, Anne, let's go into some triggers. Okay, and I think this, you know, maybe it takes us out of part one, and then part two, we'll get into the scene by scene breakdown, you know. But Anne, these are the triggers you picked up. It's just amazing. We just have it too good. All of us, me, you, everybody. I'm sorry. Like for you to be able to find some of these things, it's like wow.
Well, it was crazy, Kev, because especially when we have Gen Z or millennials on, I like to just have a little bit, because the first couple episodes that we did, I was blown away. I'm like, you guys, read into stuff so much.
We just watch the same thing?
I'm like, how did I miss every social connection ever? I don't consider myself that simple of a person until I watch or talk about one of these shows with somebody millennial or under, and I'm like, holy cow. So now when I'm doing my
I'm research, also important.
I am so damn important.
By the way, I think with some of these were actual views and critiques, these are very clearly very important people.
So I did research. I always do a little controversies on whatever the special is. The one, you know, I remember, and you probably do too, when you were watching it back in the day. Obviously, there's some ties that Burgermeister Meisterburger is, you know, like a Hitler character or whatever. So that one, that one to me wasn't too outlandish.
Well, I think it was really more communism. It was East and West Germany.
Yeah,
I think because even you know, with the suspenders of it looked very German.
Yes.
You know, so, but you're right. It's Nazi, but then I think also communism, because Nazi Germany, when they were at their peak, they were living the life.
Right.
It wasn't that there was no color and they were like, they will work hard, play hard. You know, to me, it seems more East Germany.
So do you think that was the divide where Sombertown was bleak and then the other side was abundant?
Yeah. Oh, it was. Wait. So in other words, so one of the triggers is that this is a Cold War view saying, you know, capitalism, colorful, fun, good. In yes. Communism, bad.
Bad, bleak, yeah. Dark,
and somber. So Sombertown and even the production design, it's really dark and grainy. And then he comes in with this colorful outfit.
Yeah.
And then the toys are bright and colorful.
Yeah.
But everyone else is dark. And yes, it is totally, I think, a depiction of it. Now, I don't have a problem with that. So if someone thinks in some way, shape, or form, this is denigrating communism, and then they have a problem with that, then I'm like, oh my, is that, if that's really the case, then it's like, oh. But by the way, ask someone who lived in East Germany what it was like. I have a friend who actually cut my hair for a long time, hairdresser, and she grew up in Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And she would tell me that they would make you sing songs about how great the Soviet Union was as when they were in children in school and how fun it was to live there. You know, who's got the best toys? Soviet Union. Who's got the best this? Soviet Union. Who's got the best this? Soviet Union. And then they would joke behind the teachers' backs and say, where's the Soviet Union? Because they had none of those things.
Wow.
It was hard living, you know, and dark and somber and miserable. And there was a 1% that lived very well, but everyone else.
It's a lumber town.
Oh, yeah. And the black market, just selling jeans is how people got by. And yeah, so it was a pretty accurate depiction of that. And I don't think that that's a good way of life.
No.
And I just can't believe someone. Yeah.
Well, I think some of the younger generations now, Kevin. And
well, they're under this fantasy that that's a good way of life.
Socialism, you know? And communism is where we want to head. When we're on that, though, Kev, one thing I wanted to ask you specifically, I thought it was interesting in this Burgermeister, and you're the one who brought my awareness to this, I think when we were talking about Frosty, Burgermeister never gets redeemed, where typically the Rankin and Bass villain sees redemption. I was wondering what, you know, if you thought the non-redemption was intentional because of that parallel, or
yeah, but you know what was interesting, he doesn't get redeemed, but then also he doesn't get hung, he just fades away and people realize how silly he was.
Yeah
And that's kind of what I always felt, it was so poignant, because at the end of the day, these people, the dictators and these blowhards, and you know, at the end of the day, if you take a step back, other than like the horrific things some of them pull,
right,
You're just a silly little man.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why are we listening to you? Like, who are you?
Right. You serious. Know? Well, he was important, I guess.
I am important.
All right. So a couple of the other things that I wanted to talk about.
That triggered. Okay.
That could be triggers. Well, one is Kris Kringle Christ figure. I think we see that a lot in here, and I don't know if that would.
So this was brought up by filminquiry.com.
Yes.
This was the debate. Okay. And so did they have a problem with him being Christ, or are they just making that statement?
Yeah, I think they were just making that statement and just like drawing all the parallels, like the wedding scene. And then Chris is like Jesus because he performs miracles for the townspeople. Not only does he bring joy and cheer, but he also can read the future and he reads people's minds. And they really did like a deep dive on comparing him to Christ, and I was hoping to talk to a Gen Z or a millennial to see how they would feel. Cause again, back in the day, and even now watching it, like I do a deep dive here cause we're talking about it and we're doing a deep dive, but just on the surface, I'm like, okay, it's Santa Claus. Like, he's supposed to bring joy to people.
Well, I think, right. I would say Christ-like. I don't think, you know, Christ was looking into a crystal ball.
Right.
And, you know, so I'd say following him, if you are a Christian, isn't it about following the ways of Christ? So, I mean, I think someone, again, had a lot of free time and I will say is also very important.
Super important.
Okay, what else?
All right. One of my favorites before I get to my most shocking was on reason.com. They called this the most libertarian Christmas special.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to, if I may, just Please. Read a quote from them saying it's a parable. And you hinted at this about black markets, the nanny state and the morality of resisting silly arbitrary laws. It casts Santa Claus as a heroic individualist who disdains nonsensical regulations, operates by his own moral code, and ultimately chooses to exit a society that views him as a threat to its enforced order. They go on to summarize the ending as such. Then they go full Galt, moving to a secret location near the North Pole to resume their toy making activities, bestowing the fruits of their labors on those children who live by a moral code that's based on natural law rather than any rules sanctioned by a state. It's an unconventional happy ending, but one that resonates with fans of freedom. The oppressive government loses and the revolutionary outsider wins public acclaim for violating unjust laws, and parents get a convenient way to keep their kids in line.
Holy cow. But you know what? I think that's kind of accurate. And I would say I am libertarian, because I'm like, oh, that all works for me.
Right. I know. Sometimes I dip and think I might be also. I don't know. But I'm like, just the fact that they're so important to be thinking this deeply about it. I don't know. I was just curious to thoughts and like.
Someone's very important. I also have here that there was a Reddit thread where someone wanted to know if the Winter Warlock represented the German scientist who worked for the U.S. after World War II.
Yeah. Kev, I was going to ask you about that, because I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but I know you're a history buff, so.
Well, there was a lot of brilliant minds, and both the United States and Russia were trying to get them. This Germans, it was a small country, so the way they just effed up the whole world showed how powerful they were as a people, but then also they did have amazing technology, and they were close on getting nuclear power themselves and a bomb. They ran out of time, money, and resources. So the race was on to get them to the United States to work on our stuff rather than to the Soviet Union.
Right.
And so I would think this person's analogy, who obviously, again, I want to say is very important, was that Winter Warlock was, you know, working for the Nazi regime and using his power for evil, and now he's using it for good.
Right.
And by the way, like, people who are making these analogies, like, hey, listen, you could say the same about us being important, us talking about the show too. So I want to have empathy for them as well. Little woman's liberation here with Jessica standing up to the town and saving everyone, you know, taking matters into her own hands. I like that a lot.
She stood in her own power.
I'm going to give this unlike the people who review our show on Apple Podcasts, I'm going to give this a five star plus of all the specials. Yeah, this is my favorite special.
Same.
Hands down. Really? And your favorite?
Well, it's between, like I say, it's one of the two that I have seen most recently. So this is the one I saw most recently between this and Year Without. But Year Without are my two faves.
And growing up, was this yours?
Oh, same? Yeah.
Well, same. Those two?
These two. And I was a huge Rudolph fan because,
yeah,
you know, true confessions, my first real crush was Yukon Cornelius. So I always liked watching that one because
isn't it amazing? He was awesome. He was great.
Yukon's
the man.
He was the man. Yeah, I loved his sense of adventure and all of that. He was, you know, out on his own. He had his dog sled team. So I would throw Rudolph in there as a younger kid just because of my love for Yukon.
Yeah.
I
didn't know that about Yukon, you know, but that makes sense, because even when he went and pulled the sleigh and all the little dogs and stuff were on his back.
Yeah.
And then when he took on the Bumble.
Oh, I mean, he was brave. He was a protector. He was friends to everybody. He was adventurous and explorer.
You're right.
Animals.
All right. You know what? I've always been a Winter Warlock. Has always been my favorite. I would say the Snow Miser's up there because, he just was an amazing phony. He was so Hollywood. I loved
him. Right.
Yeah. Hey, my little sugar plum, whatever you need. Yeah, he was amazing. But he's like so many people I know, producers out here, just wouldn't pee on you if you're on fire, but to your face. Hey, beautiful. Amazing. Yeah. But now you've got me all these years later. I have to rank. I got to bring Yukon higher. You're right. He's outstanding.
I've always been a huge fan. Yeah.
And he redeemed the Bumble. He was even forgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He's all right, we all make a mistake, dude. I've been there. You know,
I feel like, you know what, Ann? I feel like we need another Rankin Bass Ride or Die on the show, because it would be a great episode just to discuss favorite Rankin Bass characters. But I feel like if we threw the ball to Gen Y and Gen X, they'd be like,
hate them all.
I don't know. Yeah. Or just indifferent. Just like, what? You know, like,
Yes, we do. That would be a fun chat show.
Yeah, because I think, because these are so iconic. Okay, listen, you guys, it's the Christmas Specials We Love podcast. Please continue to text us 351-251-2511, 351-251-2511 at the Christmas Specials We Love on Instagram, which we unfortunately don't have a lot of time to update. That was supposed to be Gen Y's job, but you can see why, you know, we get annoyed by Gen Y because never mind. I digress. More one-star reviews coming. Listen, it's early in December. The holidays are almost over, as I keep saying. Yeah. It's just going way too fast. I waited all year for this and it's going way too fast. But hopefully you're out walking around malls, finding neighborhoods that have great lights, and doing, and you know, reconnecting with old friends too. That this is my time of the year. I go home, I line up everyone I'm gonna see, lots of coffees,
nice
coffee and a cruller. But I try to see as many friends as I can, family, and it's fun to give. Like, so you know, I recently was, and self-help seminars.
Yeah,
that just came to me. Well, I know someone's doing Kelsey is from Regular Guy Friday. It's my co-host on Regular Guy Friday. She's doing Landmark this weekend that people seem to love.
Okay.
And it made me think that for certain people, that might be a nice gift. Because I'm always looking for different gifts. You know, we went over, obviously, Ann, because you are the world's leading throw blanket expert.
Right.
So that's a nice gift. But
milk duds might leave somebody a little bit.
Here's the thing, polarizing, Ann.
Yes.
Milk duds are polarizing. Someone could get me like, I hate these things. I'm going to lose my fillings. I don't even like them. I don't want sugar.
I don't need sugar.
The whole thing. But you're onto something. I think some other little great gifts, I tell you, getting someone into the Nespresso family.
Oh.
I can't say enough. Right? You get your little Nespresso machine. You get your pods. You get your frother. You make yourself your lattes, or you make yourself your coffees or your cappuccinos. Very quick. Easy to make, affordable. We now, when I travel, because a lot of times I'm in remote locations, there's not a Starbucks or anything around. I have my own setup, but we should. Yeah. I'm always trying to find the good presents, but that's a nice one. Foam batteries, I think, are not, but no, I, you go on because you're going to follow up on Nespresso. Go ahead, Dan.
I think I texted you that when I heard that you brought your travel Nespresso, I told my husband Joe that, and you legit became his hero. He's like, oh, we need to get a travel one now, Ann,
because
have the Nespresso. Yeah. And it ruins you for coffee anywhere else. And like, you know, I am now drinking the peppermint because it's December.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to piggyback on the Nespresso.
I will say though, we have a great coffee shop in town here. Mm-hmm. And the young lady roasts her own beans. It's amazing. But I always take the staff. We get coffee before we work. And when we're all together, I take everyone. And they want to go to this place that, you know, is healthy and amazing. And normally I do too, but I have to go to Starbucks or Coffee Bean because I need the holiday cup.
Yes.
I have to have my holiday cup. I need to see the holiday drink. And now here's the thing, people. You don't have to get the full, so let's say it's, I don't know, like right now I'm having a brain freeze, but we're off the pumpkin drinks now. It's about sugar cookies, peppermint drinks, and those kind of drinks. So it's fun to get them, but yes, I get where you don't want to have this half a cup of sugar. So don't be afraid to say, instead of 5 pumps of sugar, get 2.
Right.
There's ways that you can adjust these drinks to make them still festive, but not as heavy or unhealthy. It's just thrown out there. Although it's 'tis the season, have your fun.
Right.
But if you think, but I have a lot of people, there's so many sugars. I'm like, guys, just chill. We need to see the holiday cup. We need just a little splash, a little colorful
something.
Sprinkle. Yeah, on my drink. Just, it's not going to kill you. But coffee gift cards are great too. Starbucks gift cards people use. But I was going to say for young people, I'll always get them external phone batteries. There's numerous ones out there now that are strong, that can even power computers.
Wow,
a lot of kids like to work in coffee shops. Yeah, so it's just, I don't know. I always come up with those little practical things. They seem to do well with people. Maybe it's another episode, and
Yeah, I love it. We have chat shows coming out the wazoo, as they say.
There we go. Yeah, if only we had the time. I know. Here's what we do know. There's plenty of time for people to give their one-star reviews so that you know that, you know, that'll be the purpose, just to knock me out so I stop doing this altogether and just let these great specials go to the wayside and die, sadly. I digress. And anyway, keep putting one foot in front of the other. Remember, Bumbles Bounce, the Christmas Specials We Love podcast. This concludes part one of Santa Claus Coming to Town, and we'll be back shortly with part two.